जयं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशल श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्टा विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशल श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधा कुंडगिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू शील प्रभुपाद नमा विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनम मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगम मामुद्धर भवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनम यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनम प्रणामो दुःख शमन तं नमामि हरिं परम जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरदश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरय तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृष धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तभुगं सत्यं वरं धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जित कैतवोत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तावत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यत्र कृतिभि शुश्रूषुभि तत्क्षणा निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखाद मृदद्रव संयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिया भुवि भावुकाः सचिदानंदरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमाज्जुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेल् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम उवाच विजृम्भदां मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि काविकापि नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिधि नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्रीमल गुरुचरणारविंदाभ्यां नमः वंदे नंदव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टश यासां हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपी चरणारविंद परमाणवे नमः पीतांबरं करविराजित शंखचक्रं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणा समुद्रं राधा सहायमति सुंदर मंदहासं वातालये शमनिशं हृदि भावयामि కోమళం కూజయన్వేణుం శ్యామలోహయం కుమారగ వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురతో మమ మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. అర్థస్య సాధనే సిద్ధ ఉల్కర్షే రక్షణే వ్యయే నాశో ఉపభోగమాయాసం త్రాసశ్చిందా భ్రమో నృణాం. 17th verse. అర్థస్య సాధనే సిద్ధే కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ అక్వైరింగ్ వెల్త్ also a lot of effort required, and increasing it and then protecting it and all the suffering one goes through for doing that, again when it gets spent and using it, there is also the feeling of it's running out, therefore the fear of that. And when it gets destroyed, you get confused. Brahmam comes from that. All these things is not helpful for spiritual life. That's what pointing out. Arthasya sadhane siddham. Ulkarshe rakshane veye. Nasho ubhoga mayasam. Strasas chindam brahmam ranam. So this acquiring wealth, increasing it, all this requires a lot of time and energy in doing that. Then similarly, when you spend it also, even if it is for a dharmic purpose, and similarly, if you spend the money for your own family members or relations, for that also, when the money is spent in that way, and the wealth gets decreased, at that time one becomes very thoughtful about money. And similarly he says that there is also fear if it is all going to go, the money is going to be spent and nothing will be left later. So people who do not have clear understanding for the purpose for which the money is to be used, and such a people who have a good understanding, they won't have this problem, right? Because if money is spent for dharmic purposes, for dharmam, then it will only increase it. It won't get destroyed. This tattvam, this principle, how to spend the wealth, if one understands that, then this distress won't happen in mind about the wealth, right? If it is spent for a good purpose, then it will only increase the wealth. It is not going to be a loss. Just like Mahabali did. Mahabali is the example in the Bhagavatam for that. Mahabali, for the sake of his family members, he has spent the wealth. He did spend the wealth, right? But his own personal life, he lived very simple. Mahabali, his personal life was very simple. He didn't spend much money for himself. He spent the money for the family members, he did spend, right? You understand this from the Puranam about him. And the wealth what he has Spending on the family members, he didn't have any objection to that. In Puranam, Mahabali is a representation of this, how to spend the money. And he spent the money for performing sacrifices very freely. And that is why Shukracharya was very pleased with him, because of his that magnanimous nature. He was very magnanimous in spending for sacrifices. And the result was that Shukracharya blessed him so much that his wealth also started accumulating, the result. And unlimited wealth Mahabali got, the result of that. So if money is spent for a good purpose, then it won't get destroyed. It will only increase in course of time. And in that way, if the wealth is getting decreased, there is no need to be have any concern about that, right? So people who do not have that dharmic understanding of life, dharmam, it is they feel this problem with the money. They find it as a burden, right? And it is referring to them that this verse is spoken. Arthasya sadhane siddhe ulkarshe rakshane veye nasham ubhavoga mayasam strasas chinda brahmonranam. That means a lot of effort to acquire wealth, then while spending it and while it's being used, lot of thoughts about that, it brings plenty of concern about spending it, right? And when a lot of money is spent, you feel that you yourself has been put into difficulty. All these things is in relationship with wealth. Similarly, protecting the wealth also requires effort, lot of effort, right? So, whether you use the money for bhoga sukham, for sense enjoyment, or whether you use it for dharmic purposes, either way, there is always, while spending, worry about it. And so, in the next two verses, he is saying how one should understand wealth. How one should understand wealth. We think wealth is our shelter, but actually wealth is our enemy in many ways. Look at the next verses. Steyam himsa vradam nirdam anirdam dambham kamam krodham smayam madam bedam vairam avishwasam samspardhavyasananicha eje panchadashanartha arthamula matanranam tasmad anartham arthakhyam shreyo arthi duradasthyajet. 15 problems with money. Money can cause these 15 things in one's life. Steyam himsa anirdam dambham kamam krodham smayam madam bedam vairam avishwasam samspardha vyasananicha ede panchadashanartham. These 15 things, yes. The first 6 of them, steyam himsa anirdam dambham kamam, all those things, they are the ones when you are trying to make money, acquiring wealth. Yeah. While you are trying to acquire wealth, the first 6 ones will come. It doesn't matter who it is. Even if you are a very rich person in this world, he has to go through this. This will all happen. Same. Then, same means stealing. Stealing, right? But it will be done in a polished way. It won't be noticeable. It will be difficult. In a In a way, Bhagavatam is saying this. These 15 things are associated with wealth. Himsa, violence can happen. Cheating can come. Dambham, kamam, krotham. Ahangaram, madam, bhedam, vairam, avishwasam. Spardha. Then that will lead into the three major problems. Stree, gambling, and alcohol. These are all the after effects of that. So, the first six are the anartham that happens while acquiring wealth. Then the next nine ones are related to increasing the wealth and protecting it in that process, right? Anartham can come in that way. And through sense gratification, upabhogam, with that anartham will happen, and they are called vyasanam. You see there, samspardam vyasananicha, distress that comes from that. The three vyasanam he has spoken is alcohol, and then attraction for women, and gambling. Same atharmam what spoken in the beginning, right? And similarly, violence, himsa. Himsa, madhyam, stri sakti, dyuta sakti. Four things. What we consider as the regulative principles. Those four things can come with wealth. Himself we have spoken before. So these four things, dyudam panam sriyasunam, what we said in the first canto, yatra adharma chaturvidaha, these four adharma will be there if there is wealth. Dyudam panam sriyasunam, these four adharma comes from wealth. While acquiring wealth, what will first thing happen is theyam. There will be cheating in that. Asatyam. Asatyam means deviating from truthfulness, and which is against the principles of truthfulness, nature, right? And end up in cheating others. All these things will come in money, right? And due to that, in certain situations, it's unavoidable. And then himsa, violence, which means that those who are creating problem for you in your way, in making money, acquiring wealth, you will act in a way to give trouble to them. You will be violent towards them. Those who come against your plans of acquiring wealth. Right? And those things are drags you into rajogunam and tamogunam. These things, right? It does not happen to those who are in sattogunam. I mean, without saying all, if you just look at the world, you can immediately understand where this is happening. It's no exception to it. All over the world, this is what goes on, isn't it? So, there will be situations in order to protect the institution what you are affiliated with, or organization you are working for, company or anything for that matter. These things will happen. Once you are associated with any institution or organization, factory or anything, you will be involved with all these things. You are a part of that. And agricultural economy have less of this compared to industrial economy. Industrial economy, this is bound to happen. You cannot help. You are a share, you have to take that share of that. Whatever, you may not be fully even conscious of that, because negotiations, trade agreements and everything, what happens between the different different companies, in all that there is cheating involved. Because without cheating you can't make more money. You have to satisfy your shareholders, saying that you are making them good value for their investment. In that process, so if you have to do that, you got to act in this way. So these are the problems of the wealth, right? So, and historically, when the agricultural economy existed, then the king owned all the land, and he has allowed them to use, and there was a certain agreement with them. That means, less vyavaharam, it is better always, in order to keep some morals in the society. Because vyavaharam create all these problems, right? So agriculture economy has this benefit. There is, comparatively to the industrial economy, it's less vyavaharam. And when the agriculture system existed, the land was rented to somebody, and they did the cultivation, and a part of their earnings from the land they paid back as their rent for the land, what they have been using, right? And it was given for a certain period of time, 15 years, 20 years, like that, and after that they will renew the agreement again. So, even there, in that system also, there is possibility of corruption coming in, right? So, because of all this, spiritually minded people will try to stay away from that as much as possible, because of this 15 things related to money. What he says here: Steyam, Himsa, Anrudam, Dambham, Kamam, Krodham, Smayam, Madam, Bedham, Vairam, Avishwasam, Samspardha, Vesananicha. Ede Panjadashanartha, Arthamula Madanranam, Tasmad Anartham Arthakyam, Shreyorthi Duradasya Jed. One who wants a shreyas, he should stay away from this, saying this. Sri Shobramashi is saying this, that one who wants a shreyas, artham should not become anartham. Artham should not become anartham. Problem is that in the modern society, everything is acceptable, everything is considered. Whatever we are doing, it's all very moral, do we say? And we put a stamp on that. Everything, what all these international businesses, international corporations, actually they are dragging everyone into their sinful ideologies, and people have to pay a heavy price for that. So naturally this vasana builds up from this in people. Then those who are in the mode of goodness, sattvikam, they will find it very difficult to do these things. Rajasam and Tamasam is the one which is favorable for this, right? And so he's saying here that Madam means ego, ahankaram inside. Steyam means moshanam, stealing, right? And others' wealth, stealing in a very nice way, without their knowledge, taking it from them. Right? Himsa, anradam, and dambham, parushyam. Okay. So, the stealing, himsa, and asatyam, dambham, kamam, krodham. These six things are in the first process of acquiring wealth, right? Then smayam, ahankaram, madam, That means you lose your power of discrimination. It is against the moral values, right? And you can see all the big industrialists in this world, how they make wealth, right? And if you look back into their history, how they have acquired wealth, you will see how many sinful activities have been committed in that process. And to find a dharmam in that is very difficult. Impossible, right? So, if you ask a question, they have to make money because that's their way of life, right? If you acquire wealth like that, will that not be sinful in that way? So, when you lose that power of discrimination, that by acquiring wealth in the wrong means, you are going to be get implicated in that. And that faith they have lost means they lost that power of discrimination. And when you are trying to increase that wealth, similarly protecting that, there will be all the other sinful activities associated with that, right? You may do a lot of charity, but that is not going to save you from that reaction from your activities, right? So these 16 things, what he has spoken there, it's more, little bit more expanded here. In the next verse, you'll see that vidyate brādharo dāra pitara sukhrudasthatha ekha snigdha kāginiñya sadya sarveshaya krita. Sometimes, due to this wealth alone, problem between brothers. When they were small children, they were good friends, brothers. They were able to relate with each other. Friendly nature they had. There was no reservation. But as soon as they have grown up, wealth becomes the cause for their misunderstanding each other between brothers and sisters also. Similarly, all these people, brothers, wife, and parents, similarly friends, all relationship breaks down because of this one thing called artham. He says, ega snigdha kaginiñya sadya sarve araya kritaha. Kagini means it's an old coins system. 20 varadiga becomes a kagini. In them days, they had those coins. We won't know that now. Kagini. Arthen alpiyasa hyede samrabdha deepta manyava tejan dyashus pradoghanandi sahasod srajya saukhradam. Due to this wealth alone, family members and relations, they become each other inimical and give up their relationship once for all, and sometimes it even ends up in death among the brothers and family members all. Then labdhua, all these things don't need explanation because it's our life, isn't it? Every family you take, you will see this happening. In every family, it is there. In smaller degree or higher degree, this happens. This problem between family members due to wealth. It's unavoidable. That's the very nature of wealth. Then, lebdhva janmam janmamara prarthyam manisham tadvijagriyadam tadanateye swartham gnandi yandyashubham gadim. Devadas wants to have a human life. And especially a Brahmanyam in that, Brahmana's birth, right? And after getting all that, instead of getting trying for self-realization, to escape from the cycle of birth and death, one who does not try for that, who does not do that, he will end up in a very low species. Warning here. Tadanadhyaye swartham, swartham ghanandiyanj ashubham gadim. Ashubham gadim means, Sridharajarya Swamiji says there, that the lowest species they will fall into. After got a human form, and that to a brahminical birth, where you have good opportunity for spiritual advancement and self-realization. If one does not utilize that and engage in sense gratification, run after money, the end of that will be you will have to accept a lower species in the next life. Surgaba vargayor dwaram prapyam lokam imam puman dravine konushajeda martyo anarthasya dhamini. This human form of life, which is capable of elevating oneself to heavenly planets or for liberation, even after getting that, one who is conscious of death, who will get attached to the money and waste his life in that way? Devarsha pitrubhudhani nyadin bandushya bhagina asam vibhajya jatmanam yaksha vitta padathyatha. Devas, rishis, pitrudevadas, bhudam, relations, without giving them all their due share in life, one who acquires wealth in that way, he will eventually end up in hellish conditions. Says, vyarthayarthehaya vittam pramattasya vayobalam kushila yena siddhyandi jarada kinnu sathaye. Due to arthasakti, arthasakti means attachment for this wealth, Brahmana is saying, Avanti Brahmana, he is saying that all my wealth has gone, my lifespan is also finished, and my strength also gone, whatever strength I had. And intelligent people, they use the wealth properly and try to advance in the spiritual path. I am an old person, what would I do now? Says this Brahmana. Brahmana says, I am an older person now, what can I do? So, these 15 things, what he spoke, Seyam, Himsa, Angadam, Dambam, Kamam, Krodham, Smayam, Madam, Vedam, Vairam, Avishwasam, Samspardam, Vyasananicha. These things, they are understandable because madam, for example, madam means your intelligence you have lost, power of discrimination, kind of an intoxicated state, madness in making money. Then you lose your capacity to discriminate properly in life, right? And if a lot of wealth comes in life, what happens is, he start feeling, I'm different from others, because I got so much money. Bheda buddhi comes there. You start looking at other people who are very poor, who don't have much wealth, that you don't belong to that class. This is how we brought all this middle class and upper class and lower class and all. These classes comes then. You start thinking that you are somebody important because you got more wealth because of that. These thoughts, bheda buddhi will come in a person because of that. Right? And then you start thinking that you should only have relationship is of a similar nature, similar status. You shouldn't have relationship with poorer people. Only with the rich people think they allow to have association with the rich class only. Only those people who are in the similar standard financially. people who have helped. He was also once poor before he made money. But then he finds it difficult to associate with those friends who were there at that time when they were poor. When they have become rich, everything changed. So the money changed the whole relationships with everyone. Wealth, nature of the wealth is, it will be there today, it could be gone tomorrow. Right? But sincerity, if there is a sincere relationship with people, if that gets destroyed due to wealth, because wealth comes in between. So, those things he has mentioned in detail here, vairam, enmity comes because of wealth, each other. Some people who have got a lot of wealth, that ends up like that. Then avishwasam. Avishwasam means that you lose trust in others. You become distrustful. You think everybody else is there out to cheat you and take your money away. Therefore, you lose faith in others. And a stage can come that you don't trust anybody. Vairam means, in order to get recognition in the world, you become very competitive nature. You're competing with everybody. Malsara buddhi. That comes from that. And if other people don't recognize you, then you feel enmity towards them. A lot of these things are subtle things which automatically comes inside due to the influence of money, influence of wealth. Then samspardha. Samspardha means that when you are doing vyavaharam with others, competition comes. Matsara buddhi, competition there. And dyudam panam sriya sunam, the four problems, what is related, everybody knows what they are. Right. So if the money is spent for the right cause, mean for dharmic purposes, right? These problems won't happen. These 15 things associated with money won't happen if it is spent for dharmic purposes. Right? So that will depend upon the samskaram in a person. Sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. Right? So, those who are in the sattva rajas tamas gunams, right? All these problems, 15 things spoken here, this will only happen to those who are in rajogunam and tamogunam, right? Those who are in the sattugunam, they won't have the problem, right? Because he knows what wealth is for, and he will spend the wealth in that way. So, having said that, if all the money is spent in the dharmic way, how will a grahastha conduct his life in this world? Right? Principle is this, that life should not be just for making wealth, acquiring wealth. Right? Acquire sufficient wealth for living in this world. Wealth is not the goal of life, in other words. Right? Wealth is for living in this world. Not, life is not for creating wealth, making money. And so the purpose of wealth should never be forgotten in life. That is why you remember in the first canto, in the second chapter, Arthasya dharmai kandasya kamo labhaya hisprada kamasi indriya preti labho jiveta yavada. So Srimad Bhagavatam is saying that artham is for the purpose of dharma. Arthasya dharmai gandhasya. Otherwise it is all away. It will end up in problems. So in the beginning of Bhagavatam itself is, Sudha Goswami said this, then acquiring wealth for any other purpose will end up in problems in life. Arthasya dharmai gandhasya kamo labhai hismrata. Kamasya indriya praidi labho jiveta yavada jivasya tattva jityasa. Human life is meant for self-realization. Tattva jityasa na arthaya cheha karma bhi. Not for any other purposes apart from that. So that same principle is spoken here. And similarly Krishna said that for execution of dharmam it is required, money is required. And grihino bhudarekshaja, he said, about householder particularly, right? A householder acquires wealth for what? Bhudarekshebhya. Then in order to serve others, only for that. And forgetting that purpose of the wealth, if money is acquired for bhoga sukham, for sense gratification, then the artham will become anartham. If one acquires wealth in this world just for sense gratification, then that wealth becomes anartham, he says. And then kamam. Kamam also, there is desire for bhogam in us. That's called kamam, right? What for kamam? Fulfilling these desires so that we can live in this world. The body, mind demands a certain sense gratification. To that extent it is allowed, kamam. The purpose is, the body has to stay in this world to finish its prarabdham. And it is an opportunity for self. All these things are involved in life. Body has to stay in this world. In order for the body to survive here, exist, body has certain demands. Eating, sleeping, mating, all that. They are all allowed. Nothing more than that. If the body doesn't stay, then self-realization is also not possible. In order to practice dharmam and to realize the truth, this body is necessary. So, so kamam or fulfilling desires is only up to that extent so that the body can function, body can survive, right? Why do we have to protect the body? For upasana, Ishvara upasana, right? So what is required to maintain this body, and that is allowed, right? That is required. For example, you need a home to stay, you need household articles, right? You need clothes, and all this is meant for maintaining this body. And that's all required. Nothing more than that, right? Protection from rain, sun, cold weather, things like that. Beyond than that, getting involved in a house and you acquire a big mansion and palace and all that, it is not accepted. Then he's saying here that Bhedam Vairam Spardha, they are all spoken in the verse 20, right? And there are examples in the Bhagavatam for this also, right? How wealth comes in and creates enmity, right? Loses faith in each other. And due to this involvement of family members and brothers, sisters, everybody, right, they lose their faith and The best example in the Bhagavatam is the story of Satrajit, Samantaka jewel, right? When, imagine this, with that Samantaka jewel created, Balaram started doubting Krishna about it. It has gone to that extent. Balaram started doubting Krishna because of this Samantaka jewel. If you read the story well, you will find there, right? Because Balaram was in such a sattvagunam, therefore it did not become an enmity, but he doubted about Krishna. That Krishna is behind that. If you remember the story, that Satyabhama went to Hastinapur. Satrajit was killed. Krishna and Balaram were in Hastinapur. Satyabhama, when Satrajit got killed, took the chariot, drove herself, being a Kshatriya woman, she drove the chariot all the way from Dwaraka to Hastinapur. On her own, she went. And when she came and reported to Krishna and Balaram, Krishna showed some, Krishna expressed his grief. Although Krishna has nothing to, all this is a drama, what Krishna is playing there. He had to show, and he told Balaram also, you also cry to show your concern for death of Satrajit. Balaram got a doubt about Krishna, that Krishna is behind this. So if money can bring, these pastimes are for us to understand, to tell us, that if great personalities like them, they in their pastimes have shown these kind of emotions to teach us that it can happen to ordinary people very easily, right? But because Balaram had his natural satugunam in him, it did not develop into enmity, right? So, twice Balaram felt doubtful about Krishna, right? Once due to this Samantaka jewel, right? And then Satrajit made the propaganda about Krishna that he is behind the murder of my father, of Satrajit, right? And Balaram doubted about that. Balaram doubted Krishna on that, right? It is quite possible also that Balaram's associates misinformed Balaram about it. Somehow or the other it happened in that way, right? But Krishna didn't feel anything towards Balaram because of that. Because Krishna knows this is the nature of this world. He knew that, right? When you are getting a lot of wealth, people will be suspicious. Where did the wealth come? That question will come, right? Nobody will trust anyone else in case of wealth. That is the nature of the world, right? So Krishna thought that he was not surprised that even Balaram has doubted him on this, right? So what Bhagavatam is saying is that due to wealth, even great personalities, they can become implicated in acquiring a bad name in this world. Right? No matter how truthful you are, nowadays you know how it is, when something happens, immediately the media will take over. And they will make it. All kinds of stories they will add into that, and it will make it very difficult to prove your innocence. Even if you are innocent, to prove your innocence becomes very difficult, right? So those people who are in possession, in positions, they got to be extremely careful of their financial dealings and how the people will look at that. Yeah. So, you can see this has happened to Krishna even. What to talk about anybody else? Krishna had to go through this, right? So when all these things happened, Krishna didn't show his unhappiness towards anyone, right? Krishna decided, I have to prove myself now. And after hearing from Satrajit, and when Satrajit made the propaganda, right, when Krishna eventually proved that he was not responsible for that, they all turned against Satrajit at that moment, right? So money has got this problem, right? Satrajit got into trouble because of that at the end. Shatadhanya killed Satrajit, right? And then he ran away from there. Because he heard, what happened was that, you know the story, that Akrura and Kridavarma, Krishna's army commander, these two personalities, Akrura and Kridavarma, both are devotees. In spite of that, the wealth that Satrajit has made has created envy in their mind as well. So once casually they told Shatadhanya, where is this Akrura? How did he get wealthy? Conversation developed in that way. And Prasena, his brother, Satrajit's brother, died. Why Satrajit didn't die? He put a question like this, Akrura, towards Shatadhanya. Shatadhanya went to see Satrajit, and during a conversation, Shatadhanya thought he should kill Satrajit. He killed Satrajit, and then they stayed quiet in Dwaraka. As soon as death happened, and the news reached Satyabhama, the daughter, Satyabhama understood that her father has been killed by Shatadhanya. She had this doubt, and in order to steal the Simantaka jewel, right? And she went to Krishna, to Balaram. They were in Hastinapur. When they got there, Krishna and Balaram heard this news, and Krishna knew everything what has happened. Andaryami, isn't it, in everyone? So it was not difficult for him to know what was going on. And Krishna pacified Satyabhama, came back. And looking for Shatadhanya, Krishna and Balaram went together, looking for. All the way while to Mithila. Why they went to Mithila? In Mithila, the king of Mithila was their friend. So they heard that Shatadhanya had gone there to escape from the whole scene. So Krishna and Balaram followed Shatadhanya, looking for Shatadhanya, running towards Mithila, right? And while traveling to Mithila, Balaram is doubting Krishna about this. This whole thing Krishna knows very well what's going on. Maybe Krishna has done this for his own reasons. And when on the way, they found out Shatadhanya, and they caught him, kill him, but they didn't get the Simantaka jewel. Then when they got to Mithila, Balaram says to Krishna, I'm not coming back, you go back. I'm going to stay with the king of Mithila. So Balaram stayed, because by then Balaram started getting more suspicious of Krishna. That Krishna knows everything, he's not telling me. And this is how misunderstanding can happen between Krishna and Balaram, because of this Simantaka. Then Krishna comes back, and Krishna had to clear the air. And you know what all happened after that, right? So, you can see the difference Balaram, because of Sattvagunam, didn't create problem for him. Shatadhanya didn't have Sattvagunam in him. Right? Therefore, he became inimical to Satrajit. And initially, he did not feel much about it. And he was not very fond of, because originally it was agreed that Satyabhama will be married to Shatadhanya. Satrajit changed his mind. Satrajit changed his mind, right? So, you know, in them days, everything was arranged marriages, isn't it? Not like today. All marriages were arranged. So, Shatadhanya was not very particular about marrying Satyabhama, but the proposal came like that and Shatadhanya agreed. But then it got changed, right? So, when it didn't happen, Shatadhanya became inimical towards Satrajit, right? And knowing this, Akrur and Kritavarma wound him up on that, right? And when they excited him, he got excited. Who? Shatadhanya got excited, right? And you can imagine, Akrura, a devotee, famous devotee, Krishna's very close relation as well, he also got trapped into this maya. What we have to understand is, even if you are a devotee of such status like Akrura, if you get trapped in these two things, kamam, kanchana, wealth and lust, artham, kamam, two things, right? If you get trapped in that, you can fall, right? You will fall down from adhyatmikam to laugikam. From spiritual platform to the material platform. You can fall. This has happened to Akrura. This has happened to Akrura, right? And after this, when Krishna came back, he realized what has happened. Meanwhile, when Akrura heard that Krishna is coming back to Dwarka, Akrura decided to run away from there. He went to Kashi and stayed in Kashi, right, to protect himself, because he knew if Krishna comes back, his life will be in danger. He felt guilty for winding him up for Shatadhanya. So he knew the whole truth will come out and he'll be in trouble. Think about this. At one time, Akrura from Mathura, he took Krishna and Balaram all the way to from Vrindavanam to Mathura. And he was asking Krishna to come home, accept his hospitality. He was feeling separation from Krishna. Devotee he is. He was feeling separation from Krishna. And that devotee now is running away from Krishna. See the nature of Maya, how it can capture even devotee. Devotee who could not stay away from Krishna because of his bhakti, and that devotee now is running away from Krishna for shelter to protect himself. So these things you will find in the Bhagavadam, right? So, Katham Bradhara, if you look at the 10th canto, in the 57th chapter, you will see this. Yosmabhyam sampradi shrutya kanyaratnam vigarhyana krishna yadana satrajil kasmat bradharam anvyad. He says that This is how Akrura wound him up like that. Kasmat brother manuyat. In other words, why did Satrajit didn't go the same way like Prasena has gone, like his brother, right? In other words, indirectly, it was a hint to Satrajit, saying to Satrajit that you should finish him off. From Akrura's side, it was a hint, but in it spoken in a way, Kasmal Bradra Manuyad, why did he not go in the same way like Prasena has gone? And Shatadhanya, his time to die has come. And therefore, he lost his intelligence. And due to his desire to have that Samantaka jewel, he went and killed Satrajit, who was sleeping that time. Satrajit was sleeping. He went and killed him. And Akrura got attracted to Samantaka jewel. When he got attracted, all that bhakti gone. What bhakti he felt towards Krishna had gone with that, right? And he became a very mundane person, Akrura, at that time. And in that way, he was indirectly responsible for that, the death of Satrajit. Because it happened through Shatadhanya, but the person who inspired Shatadhanya to do that was Akrura. Isn't it? So you know, you should study that story very well. There's a lot to learn from that. Yeah. So Shatadhanya, Shatadhanya got trapped in that process, right? And he took advice from them, and it was not a proper advice, right? But took the wrong advice from Akrura, Shatadhanya, and acted on that. So sometimes you see, from where you take the advice, also you have to think about, right? Sometimes between husband and wife, because of wealth, misunderstanding comes, right? And you can see in the modern world, all types of problems come from that, right? And all this is due to artham, right? Similarly, between countries problem comes, nations, because of the same problem, right? And wealth is not the only problem. Problem is, along with that, our rajogunam, tamogunam. So if we have asura swabhavam, asuric nature, which everybody has, added to that, when the wealth comes, it will create trouble. Right? So, so that's what he is saying here. Between nations, the same problem happens because of that. Yeah. So, then.
Labdhva janmam amara pratyam manushyam tadujagriyam tadanadrutaya swartam nandiyanga shubham gadim.
Then he says that, talking about others
who are attached to wealth, right? Kasmat samklishade vidwan vyarthayo arthehaya asakrat kasyachin mayaya nunam logoyam suvimohitaha. And knowing that artham will cause anartham, why one should waste life in this arthasakti? And then he says, kasya chin mayaya nunam logoyam suvimohitaha. Then this world is captivated by Ishvara's maya. Maya, right? And in order that for kim dhaner dhanadeva kim kamerva kama dairata mrityuna grasya manasya karma bhirvoda janmade. Death is going to come anyway, even if you have wealth or no wealth, right? And to get trapped in this, and then in the process of acquiring wealth, engaging in karma, and that karma which is going to bind us for many more lifetimes to come, what is the benefit from that, says Bhikshu, right? Then he said that even demigods wants to get a human body here, but not knowing the goal of life, getting attracted to sense gratification, any person who has some capacity to discriminate, who will get attached to this arthakamam, he says. Then he says, Brahmana is saying that due to this arthasakti, I have lost my discrimination power. I lost my youth. I lost my health. All my time I have spent for acquiring wealth. And that wealth I have accumulated in that way, I have lost everything now. And I have become an old person. And intelligent people, when they get wealth, they execute dharmam with that wealth. And through that dharmam, they acquire chittashuddhi and make progress in spiritual path with the wealth. In this way, they make their life worthwhile in this world, right? So this is the lamentation of this Avanti Brahmana. Brahmana is saying that I got the wealth, but I wasted it. I got attached to the wealth so much due to that greed. All my youth's age, I spent acquiring wealth. I lost my health now. I'm an older person. Ideally, I should have used the wealth for dharmic purposes. With that, some chitta shuddhi would have happened to me. And that chitta shuddhi would have helped me to make some progress in spiritual path. I lost all that opportunity, says. I didn't give the money to anyone, and unlimited wealth I have acquired in this way, but I could not utilize the money for the right purpose in this way, right? So that's all his lamentation, you know, spoken so many verses there. So this greed is not only on an individual level, right? Families could have a desire to have wealth in a collective way. Similarly, countrywide, nationwide, they want to acquire wealth. So that's why they invade other countries and get their wealth from that. It's not. So, for the sake of wealth, countries fight each other, families fight each other, Individually also people fight each other. So, no, by whose maya all these things happen, that it is, which is very difficult to know the power of this maya. All one has to be observe these things as a witness to everything, and it will be easy to understand this. He is saying that. Everyone is under the grip of kalam, time, right? And these thoughts now, which has come to this Brahmana at the old age, which is too late now. What he is saying here is that these thoughts should come to a person in his good times in life, not at the old age. At the old age it is too late, you can't do anything about it now. So acquiring wealth more than what is necessary and using the money for the other things is that you will find a shelter in wealth. You will feel I have a lot of wealth, so that will protect me at the old age. This kind of false security will come from this wealth. So dependence on Krishna, surrender to Krishna will go. It won't happen. It will be very difficult to develop faith in Krishna when there is a lot of wealth. It's a difficult thing that time, right? So he's pointing out that because of this wealth, I did not develop spiritually. I never felt the shelter of need to take shelter of anybody else because of the wealth. So this is all the problems. How arthakamam, artham becomes an obstacle in developing spiritually a person. A person's spiritual development, how it becomes an obstacle. Then he says, even though it's very late in my life, he says, now I've got this understanding, what has gone wrong, right? And this is only purely because of Krishna's mercy, he's saying, right? And then he's analyzing his own life. In this lifetime, I haven't done anything good. No pious activities I have done in this lifetime. But something I must have done in my previous life. Brahmana is saying, in my previous life, I must have done something. Otherwise, how could this happen to me? This realization come to me, right? That means to find the futility of artham and kamam. It takes time in a person's life. And unless Krishna's mercy comes, we won't accept that. Arthakamam is like that. Unless Andaryami inside, the thing is that we still are not happy with Andaryami, are we? We think that we are making the decisions always. This misunderstanding has to go from inside. That Andaryami is controlling us every moment. And if Andaryami's blessing is not there, our activities in this world can go in the wrong direction. Yeah. Say for example, you have acquired a lot of wealth and got very attached to it, right? Even at the time of death, that acquired wealth will be in your mind. Urdhashwasam. Urdhashwasam means the last few breaths before you leave the body. Even at that time, there are people in this world who is remembering their bank balance while leaving this world. Just a few breaths before leaving this body, they are still thinking about the bank balance, what they have created in this world, right? So, even in your deathbed, even at that time, home, the land, bank balance, All these things will come to the mind at that time. Very hard to leave that at that moment. If there is a lot there, then it will be very difficult that suddenly you are realizing that it's gone once for all, right? So, beyond than that, to have a spiritual understanding of all these things, Adhyatmika Bhavam, it is called. And Adhyatmika Bhavam at the old age, to get that, it can only happen if Antaryami from inside reset inside our mind. If our mind whole life is attracted to wealth, acquiring wealth and attracted to wealth, these thoughts will not leave us even at the time of death while leaving this body. And when you know that it is inevitable that this death is going to happen, and if at the same time, if our mind gets absorbed in the thoughts of home, real estate, bank balance and all that, you can imagine from that what the next body will be. Isn't it? Janmalabha parapamso ande Narayana Smriti. Where is Narayana Smriti then? Where will Narayana Smriti come? Edavan Sanghi Yogabhyam Sodharma Parinishtaya Janmalabha parapamso ande Narayana Smriti. Narayana Smriti won't happen. All these things will come in our memory. So, the point is, Krishna's point is that this Adhyatmika Bhavam, that all this is finished at a certain stage in life, said goodbye to that once for all, and preparing for the death, that is old age. Old age is meant for that, that preparing for the death. Instead, all this acquired wealth and all the possessions, if you keep our mind absorbed in that, they will come at the time of death and haunt us there in the deathbed, right? So, here, Bhikshu is saying, at this stage in my life, in this old age, this some little realization has come to me that all my activities, my throughout life was a waste of time, and I have upset a lot of people, I've created a lot of trouble for others, due to my greed. Why did this realization come to me now, at this stage? And that definitely, he says, has come from Antaryami inside. You see, even to whom Antaryami's mercy comes, it's very difficult to say. Bhikshu got the highest benediction. Krishna glorifies him later. This Brahmana, his capacity to got a Brahmana's birth. You see that, the effect on him, impact on him. Whole life he wasted in making money and didn't share with anyone and didn't spend for dharmic purposes either. In spite of all that, at the end, Brahmana is saying, why did this realization come to me? Which means that Krishna is pleased with me. Something I have done to please him and it has come to me now. So what does it show? That these thoughts are all controlled by Antaryami from inside. It's not what I think it happens or my mind decides. No. It happens because Antaryami is behind every thought that is coming. We discussed this yesterday also. That Srinarada Maharshi says that one thought comes, it goes. Another one comes. Who is doing all these things from inside? We must have that way of thinking. Otherwise we won't understand. It is not your mind is doing something. Mind is all thought waves, chitavrati, sangalpam, sangalpam all the time. Sangalpa vigalpam, that's the mind, right? So different vigalpam comes, but if all those vigalpam, if a good vigalpam like this to come, who must be responsible for that? Antaryami, nobody else. That's what Bhikshu is saying here, right? Krishna is saying, Shri Hari is pleased with me. Therefore, I have this realization now. Even though it is very late in my life, my time is finished practically. But even at this point in time, at least I've got now proper understanding that what I have done is a wrong thing. And only if Krishna's mercy comes, this will happen. That mercy comes from Antaryami inside. All great personalities you look, they will always acknowledge this at the end. That Krishna has changed their destiny. Looking back into their life, what should have happened didn't happen. When you look back into their life, the kind of things they have done, how they got implicated in all kinds of sinful things. But somehow or the other, at the time of death, Krishna showed some mercy towards them and changed the whole situation. Exactly like the way this Brahmana is saying, Pingala has also spoken. Remember that? Pingala's life was engaged in sense enjoyment, right? And she was so fed up in life, 95%. She says that she was fed up at that day, if you remember that, what we talked about, right? So, what happened to her? Nirvedam, Vairagyam came in life. Like this Brahmana got Vairagyam now. Pingala also got Vairagyam in the same way, right? And so, you can understand from that, if Vairagyam comes in life in such a powerful force from inside, it has to come from Antaryami only. It is not your decision. If you feel that Vairagyam inside, at a stage in life like that, such a strong Vairagyam, which is called Nirvedam here, Pingala's case, as well as this Brahmana's case, it has purely happened because the Antaryami inside decided to give it to them. And that is the that is what he is acknowledging here. Right? So, if Nirvedam comes to a person, even though it is very late in life, it's at a very late stage in his life, still he is saying, at least it has come now in my life. And he is he's acknowledging that, right? And the same thing you will see in the Gajendra Moksham also story, right? So, there are instances like that. Gajendra story, if you look. Similarly here also, Pingala's case and this Bhikshu's case, all of that, right? So, in a life, having lived through this world, one who has some spiritual culture, he will develop this good fortune at the time of death. Somehow it will come, right? So, and he will get through all these difficulties in life through Salsangam and through Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, with their help, he will develop that consciousness necessary. Materialists, their way of solving problems is different. Spiritualists take shelter of Salsangam, Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita. And when crisis comes in life, materialists go for counseling and all that. Is it not? That's what they do. They go for counseling. He says, you need counseling, they say. And then there will be some counselor sitting there to give the advice. So, that's a materialistic way of solving problems, right? And they will give some advice. Sometimes, quite often, that will create some other problems, what the advice you have got from them, right? So, here, main problem what we all have is this cycle of birth and death. Jananam maranam, right? And when we try to escape from this cycle of birth and death, one has to understand what Krishna has spoken to develop that discrimination power inside and Ishvara Upasana. And eventually it will develop at some stage, he will come to the platform of self-realization. So, to find a solution to the problem, To get the understanding proper through satsangam is Krishna's mercy. To understand things properly and to find a solution to the problem, that we don't get misguided in life. And Krishna is saying here that these things happen due to some spiritual culture, what one has developed in previous lives. You cannot deny that. That is why one gets attracted to satsangam, one likes to hear Bhagavatam, and some, for some reason, which may not be like this Brahmana is saying here, I don't know what I have done. In this life I have not done anything. But at this moment in time, if these thoughts are coming to me and able to analyze my life in the proper way and see where things have gone wrong, and this analysis I was able to do it, I must have done something good in previous lives. And the result of that, Antaryami has given it to me now. Something I have done in my previous life, says. This is how one has to see one's life. Otherwise, it is very difficult to explain all our actions if it is all made by me from my mind. It is not possible. You can yourself analyze this and think about it. That whatever you have done in spiritual life is not purely your decision based on your mind, that you heard it and thought about it and analyzed it and then you made the decision. It didn't happen that way. It has actually come from Antaryami inside. Antaryami prompting from within. At every stage in life, especially that spiritual culture, something we may have done in previous life, which we don't know what that is. Otherwise it is not possible to get attracted to Bhagavatam or to attracted to Bhagavad Gita. Right? So, some upasana, Ishara upasana, in previous life must have been done. So, this adhyatma bhavam, spiritual bhavam, without Antaryami's mercy, cannot happen to anybody. Cannot. It will not happen just because somebody is very intelligent. It won't happen. It will only happen, adhyatma bhavam comes in a person by the mercy of the Antaryami inside. Because Antaryami knows our record, previous record as well. So, with this experience, Bhikshu had some prarabdham to go through. This Brahmana had a prarabdham to go through. But at least at this point in time, he got disgusted with life and he was able to analyze his own life. Analyzing his own life and able to think where things have gone wrong. And that discriminative power or adhyalpa bhavam has come to him purely because of Krishna's mercy. Otherwise it would not have happened. Right? So that is what he was saying in that 29th verse, you see. That he is acknowledging that. Soham kalavasheshena shosha ishe angamalmanaha apramato akhila swartho yadisyal siddham altmani. If I get some more time, in the earlier the verse, in the 28th, he said that Krishna is pleased with me, he is saying. See that? Krishna is pleased with me. Nunam me bhagavan tushta sarvadeva mayo hari yena nido desha medam nurvedam shaltmana plavaham. Krishna is definitely pleased with me, he says, because my state of consciousness has come to this now. That because what you require in life is vairagyam. Vairagyam comes from suffering. That will naturally push a person towards spiritual life. Otherwise it won't happen. Otherwise it will be just a show. You know, I'm doing so many things in my life, a little bit spiritual life also to that. Added to that. It will be like that. So first thing is this nirveda. Vairagyam comes, right? He says, I got that vairagyam now from this life experience. Therefore, soham kalavasheshena shoshayi shengam altmana apramato akhila sartho edisyal siddham altmani. If I get a little bit more time, he is saying here, that I will execute spiritual life seriously and I will perform penances and austerities and I will make my life perfect from that. If I get some more time, he says, at old age, right? Soham kalama sheshena shosheshen angam altmana apramato akhila sartho yadisyal siddham atmani. And you can see this, able to see things in a subtle level, that does not happen very easily. Normally we are very gross people, is it not? For us everything is, we see everything on a gross platform. We don't even understand that Antaryami is controlling our life from a very subtle level, everything. Even though so many things happen in our life, still our vision is in the world outside. We have never developed that habit of looking inwards, that there is something happening inside us, all of us, all the time. And that is actually controlling our experiences of this world. To come to that understanding, when we got used to seeing in the world all the time, it takes a little while before that happens. Yeah. So that is why this Bahirartha Bhava, Bahirartha Bhava means that everything looking into the world outside and making decisions on that basis. Not acknowledging that the Antaryami inside is behind everything in our life, what's happening. And even if you give all the logic and reasoning behind it, still we are finding it difficult to accept it. Why? Why is that? It's only because of this conditioning due to the looking outside. It's the effect of that. Bahirartha Bhava. And that's what he was saying there also. That I got used to that and suddenly Antaryami inside has taught me this lesson. That able to think in the right direction. Right? Apramato akhilasartho yadisyal siddham altmani. He's saying there that. So this is his good fortune. This is how life happens. Spiritual life is a mystery like this. In many, many people's life, this is how it has happened. Just in a split second, everything changed in life. Antaryami gave that thought inside. Antaryami is controlling our thoughts every moment. We must accept that. We shouldn't think it is my decision. Ahankaram is not doing that. Ahankaram cannot do it. Ahankaram doesn't have the capacity. The Antaryami's power, Antaryami wants you to know something, he will make you aware of that. If he doesn't want, Maya will give you put the shutter there. Won't allow you to know that. Yeah. So, all things related to spiritual life, it is Antaryami's decision from inside. Antaryami is pushing a person in a particular direction, right? So then he said there that the rest of my life I will spend performing penances. If he gives me a little bit more time, he says, and he said that apramato agalasato edisyal siddham altmani, I will join Krishna that way. Paramatma Swarupam, right? Shoshayi Shangam Altmana, that is what it means. He mentioned Shoshayi Shangam Altmana. Shoshayi Shangam Altmana means that I will become one with the Paramatma. Means I will be established in the self, self-realization. He also acknowledges that only Antaryami who is inside, Sachidananda Paramatma, he alone can give you anandam. Right? Through Ishvara Upasana, with full faith, I will join Krishna in that way. And I will elevate myself. Saying that, he said, Tatra mam anumoderin deva tribhuvaneshwara muhurtena brahmalokam gatvanga samasathayat. Let all the devadas help me in my endeavor. Then he said that if you are thinking that I am an old person, I can't do anything now, the time is over. If you think so, he says no. He's not accepting that. He says, think about Katwanga. Katwanga went to fight the battle. in the heavenly planets to help Indra. And then at the end, after a long time, he helped Indra to fight the battle. At the end, Gatwanga asks Indra, Indra asks him, what blessing do you want? Gatwanga asks him, how much time have I got? He says, you don't have much time. Muhurtam time. Almost about 2 hours or so. Approximately. And then Gatwanga told him that I will go to the earthly planet. He was a great king, Ramachandra's ancestor in the solar dynasty, Gatwanga. Gatwanga prays for his blessings and he got liberated with such a short period of time. So if Gatwanga can do that, why can't I, says the Brahmana, right? If Krishna's mercy is there, it is possible, says. You can see in Bhagavatam, if you look at all the different personalities, Dhruva Maharaj took 6 months. We think that many lifetimes for us, right? But some of the personalities in the Bhagavatam, they didn't take that long for them to realize the truth. Dhruva Maharaj made it in 6 months' time. Abdhardena Harim Prasanna Maharot Autana Bhada Shishu. Parikshit Maharaj didn't do any sadhana. It took only 7 days for him. Is it not? Parikshit's sadhana was 7 days. Imagine, 7 days in life sadhana. That was enough for him. Shukabrahmarshi, that is Krishna's mercy. Krishna sent him there, Shukabrahmarshi. Krishna sent Shukabrahmarshi there and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days, and that released him from this cycle of birth and death. Parikshit got, became free. Dhruva Maharaj became free in 6 months' time. Parikshit in 7 days' time. Pingala became free. Yam Ardhada Pingala. One yamam is 3 hours. Half of that was sufficient for Pingala to go. Gatwanga Gadigadvayena. Two khadiyas, they called, Gatwanga took. Navadi Prayobidam Navyathe. Chelaparamba said that, I am 90 years old, he said. I am 90 years old. All my life I spent enjoying life. But your karunyam, Krishna's mercy, is so big that this is not a criteria. Tam karunyam idim pravanna sharanam. I am totally taking your shelter. Saying that he offered obeisances to Krishna and he left this world. So time is not a factor in deciding how many times, how many lifetimes. When Krishna's mercy comes, it can come without any hindrance from anywhere. There is no rule, and what I'm saying is there is no rule that you have to do upasana for a certain period of time. There is no rule as such, right? So, when this determination for self-realization comes in a person, if that comes strongly inside, that means one is endeavoring very, one wants it very badly, escape from this cycle, right? And at that time, when it gets to its peak, it can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody. And the story is Gatwanga went and helped the devas. And at a certain stage it came that devas didn't want his support anymore because other asuras were killed. And they decided to send him back. His service was not required. And they asked him that, the devas told him that, we cannot give you liberation, but we can tell you how long your life is left, lifespan, right? And then he told them that, straight away I'll like to go to Bharatabhumi and perform there my penances. And so demigods, they brought him to Bharatabhumi, and that is how it... you will see this in the second canto, in the beginning, in the first chapter itself. Gatwango Nama Rajarshir. Shri Shuka Brahmarshi is saying this. That verse you can see there. Gatwango Nama Rajarshir. Muhurtam Abhayam Harim. Right? So, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi says that, why did he say that? Because Parikshit told him that I have only left 7 days in my life. What can I do? He said. So, Shuka Brahmarshi says to him, you have got 7 days, it's more than enough, he says. So, from all these things, we have to understand that in spiritual life, there is no hard and fast rule. A lot of things are dependent on our previous activities. It's not that if I've done the whole life some sadhana, I may not get, still won't get the benefit or won't get the freedom from the cycle of birth and death. But there are personalities like Khatvanga, like Parikshit, like Dhruva, and like Pingala, so many like that, their sadhana was only for a very short period of time, 6 months, 1 week, two muhurtam, things like that. Yeah. So Sri Shuka Brahmarshi pacified Parikshit, saying that Khatvanga made it in 2 hours. You still have 7 days left. Why do you worry? He says. Shuka Brahmarshi says to Parikshit, right? So, Saptaham Jividavati, he says there. And when Takshaka cursed him that 7 days time life is left for him, and you won't, that means you are guaranteed that 7 days you still have life. Because on the seventh day, Takshaka will come and bite him. That was the curse of the Brahmana boy. And in these 7 days, I will talk to you, Srimad Bhagavatam, he said. And by now, Parikshit is also old, right? And this guarantee from Shuka Brahmarshi gave the hope for Parikshit. Gave the hope for Parikshit, right? And so the same thing here, in this case also, that we must not think that this Brahmana, because he has been miserly and he had worked for wealth all this time, the right thing came at the right moment in life. That's more important. That vairagyam to come at the right stage in life. All the past is gone. That's finished. It's not to be taken into consideration anymore. Before death, he got an opportunity. Antaryami inside was pleased with him. Therefore, this thought came to him at that right moment to change and analyze life and to take to the spiritual path. That is his good fortune. We'll have a short break and we'll continue at 9:15 again.
चेदोदर्पणमर्जनं वा महादावाग्निनिर्वापणं श्रेयकैतवचन्द्रिया विदरणं विद्यावधू जीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मस्वपनं वरं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनं नाम्नामकारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता निमिदा स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागाः तृणारभीषुणि चेन तरोरभि सहिष्णुना अमानिनामानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कविदां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरी भवदाल् भक्तिरहेतुकित्वयि अयि नन्दतनुजकिङ्करां पतितां मां शमये भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितधूलि सदृशं विचिन्तय नयनं गणदशुधारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलकैर्निजितं कदावभू त्वं नामग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधं शून्यायुधं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्दविरहे नमे आश्लिष्य वा पादरतां विनष्टु माम् अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तथा वा वितदा दुलम्बडो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु नैव नापरा सर्वत्र गोविन्दनामसङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द श्री भगवान वाचाम इति अभिप्रेत्य मनसा हवन्द्यो द्विजसत्तमाः उन्मुच्य हृदय ग्रंथीन शांतो भिक्षुरभून् मुनि. सो एट दिस पॉइंट इन टाइम दिस ब्राह्मणा हैज डिसाइडेड
in his mind, he took that decision. Again, importance of that decision, which has practically broken his ahankara granthi inside. Unmichya hridaya granthin. See there? Ityabhi pretya manasa avandyo dvija sattamaha unmichya hridaya granthi shanto bhikshura bhunmuni. Shanto bhikshura bhunmuni. So, you remember in the first canto he said, vidyade hridaya granthi. Vidyade hridaya granthi chidhyande sarva samshaya. Shriyande chasya karmani. The same thing. That hridaya granthi has broken and he became peaceful inside. This all happened in a very short period of time. Right? Na chachara mahi menam samyadal pendriyanila bichartam nagara gramam asango alchido alachido avishad. And then he controlled his mind, senses and pranan and wandered around in this world. And without revealing his identity, just for the sake of bhiksha, for food alone, without any attachment anywhere, he traveled all over the towns and villages. He just wandered around, right? So, bhikshu, how did he do this? How did it happen? Through the power of contemplation. Bhikshu had the capacity for that. Bhikshu had the capacity to analyze things very well. That subtle nature he had to see things through, right? So, through tattva vicharam, this, he gave up this aham, mama, me and mine. He was able to leave that due to analysis. Through tattva vicharam, tattva jnanam, right? And his buddhi was able to accept that his conclusions, that he is the Sachidananda Paramatma, like the Antaryami inside. And due to that, the ahanda mamata has gone. Ahanda mamata has gone, means kartrutva bhoktrutva has gone from him. And all this happened in a very short period of time. And it doesn't require much time to things to happen, right? This power of discrimination in life, it can happen in a moment in one's life. It can happen. Provided you get the mercy from spiritual master or from Krishna, Ishvara, right? So discriminative power to think like this thought to come inside us and to act on that power, it came to him like this in a very short time, right? So Jagadguru Dakshinamurti and Jagadishwara Krishna, when their mercy comes, generally Guru is referred as Dakshinamurti Shiva. And Ishvara is referred to as Krishna, Jagadishvara. Right? When their mercy comes, either from Ishvara or from the Guru, either way, this can happen in a second. That this tattvam, knowledge or self-realization, becomes the serious matter at that moment in our life. And that comes to us and our buddhi becomes fully fixed in that. At that moment, right? And if we get that itself, that getting fixed up in that understanding of self-realization, it's a big thing in spiritual life. Most of us are going this way, that way, whole life. Sometimes we are in spiritual life, sometimes we are in family life, sometimes we are in spiritual life again. Like this, in a either this way, that way, swinging back and forth. But to get this fixated on spiritual realization, goal, as the goal of life, and becomes as the highest priority in life, to come to that point, requires either Krishna's mercy or Guru's mercy. If you have come to that stage, what that means is you are very close to self-realization. You are at the very border of it, at the border state, right? And here, as you saw this, aham buddhi, mamata buddhi has left him. And along with that, that will more or less leave him at that time. Vairagyam had come to him, Nurvedam. Vairagyam came to him and he realized what is important in life. Nothing else is important anymore for him. Because from all sides in his life, everybody abandoned him. They didn't want anything to do with him. But because he had some purva samskaram in him, adhyatmika samskaram, just like it happened to Ajamila also. Ajamila had a nice brahmana, wasn't he? But what happened to him? He fell down. And then for a long period of time it went on like that, and suddenly one day he came to his senses. And then the Vishnudutas came. In his life it happened in a different way, Ajamila's case. Bhikshu's case it happened in another way. And Pururava's case it happened in another way. So how it will happen, nobody can say that, how these things will happen. Because we don't know. This is what I'm saying, that spiritual life is always a mystery, how it happens in life. Everybody's spiritual life is a mystery. You will never know. From totally unexpected places, quarters, help will come. And whatever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita is all in general terms. Everything is in a general level spoken, because more than anyone else Krishna knows, every individual is different spiritually, in spiritual position. So to say that this is the one book that everybody has to, this is a general knowledge of spiritual life. The science of spiritual life is Bhagavad Gita. But beyond that, all other individual life, how one has to make the decision, what to take from Bhagavad Gita for one's own particular situation, all this requires the maturity of the person who is in the spiritual life. He only can do that with the help of Guru or with the help of other devotees, whichever way it is. Yeah. So these are things to understand. Unfortunately, we are not used to that system, isn't it? We are used to everything should be written in black and white and given to us and I'll do it. And where is the result? This is what we are used to. We are not used to thinking anything in spiritual side, right? So, here he is saying that the first symptom of that was ahamda mamata gone from him. Aham buddhi and mamata. And even though ahamda mamata has gone, there is still that avidya samskaram inside him. It could be there, right? And sometimes we may forget about the truth. So, even though it is like that, with this Paroksha Jnanam. Now, if you look at this Bhikshu, he has not done any sadhana so far, right? He was a Brahmana by birth, but then all his life went completely in the wrong direction. He suddenly, with this experience in life, he came to his senses. And Krishna gave him the support from inside, as Antaryami, gave him put his thoughts in the right direction. So when he started thinking in the right direction, he started feeling shanti inside. He was suffering because of the experiences he had. And he now started feeling some shanti inside, and he was thinking himself, why is this shanti coming to me now? Why am I feeling so peaceful in life? In spite of all this, what happened? Means that Krishna is pleased with me, he says. This is why it has happened, right? So, unmuchya kradaya grandin shando bichurabhunmuni, the second line, right? What that means is that he had parosha jnanam now. Parosha jnanam had come to him, and but realization has not happened. Parosha jnanam had come to him, but full realization has not happened, right? And he understood that he is that Sachidananda Paramatma inside, and therefore he has no connection with the gross and subtle body. He is getting this realization from inside. In other words, our subtle body means thoughts, emotions, everything. It's all in the subtle body. He did not identify with them anymore. Nor he identified with the activities of the gross body, sthula shariram. That means sthula shariram dharma means hunger, thirst, and things like that. Yeah. So all these things he is not identifying with it anymore. He realized that. And similarly, from sense objects, what you get, happiness and distress, was not affecting him. In other words, in his intelligence, he had got this firmly fixed up that he started realizing he is only a witness to everything. So, and that is how he becomes a bhikshu. Look at the next verse. Sacha charamahimetam samyada almendriyanila bhikshartam nagara gramam asango alakshido avishad. He wandered around everywhere, and both his subtle body and the senses and the subtle body and his pranan, all these things, very quickly he was able to control them. Gross body, subtle body, senses and prana. All these things, he was able to control them very quickly. Why? Because he made the decision. The power of the decision inside, right? And he says that, and he wanted, he know now what he wanted in life. He developed all the qualities. Tam vai pravayasam bhikshu avadudam asad janaha drishtva paryabhavan badra bahvibi paribhudibi anusandhanam began inside paramatma tattvam, and able to look at other living entities and see that Krishna is present in all of them. Totally different person than what he used to be. Before he could not look at others because of his attachment to the wealth. Now he started realizing that Krishna is present in everybody. So that means you can see the change that has happened inside. And what Krishna spoke in Varnashrama Dharmam about Bhikshu Dharmam, if you look there, you will find that the duty of a bhikshu, bhikshu means in sannyasi stage, is first of all to see all living entities, Krishna's presence in all living entities, right? And offering respects to everybody, to Antaryami who is present in everyone. That's the duty of a bhikshu. Krishna has said that before. And in Varnashrama Dharmam. And this Brahmana has started doing that, and he was trying his hard to be like that. Yeah. Under any circumstances, he decided he will not deviate from that. His decision was very firm, right? And then he wandered around everywhere for food, and he says here, he wandered around alone, without anybody. He did that, right? Eka eva chared bhikshu, kumarya eva kangana. Krishna says, bhikshu should travel alone, not with a parivar together. Bhikshu should travel alone. That is bhikshu. Because Krishna said there, isn't it? If dvayor varta dvayor abhi, if there are two people, there will be unnecessary talk. So therefore, bhikshu should travel alone, he said. And if there is more people, there will be kalaham, quarrel will come. Then, this bhikshu, what he had to deal with in the next 7 verses. He was traveling alone, and what he had to face with other people, right? കേജിൽ ത്രിവേണും ജഗ്രഹവും ഏകേ പാത്രം കമണ്ഡലും പീഠം ചെയ്കെ അക്ഷസൂത്രം ച കന്ധാം ചീരാണി കേചന.
സം ബോയ്സ് കൗഹഡ് ബോയ്സ് ഹു ആർ ടെൻഡിംഗ് ദി കൗസ് ദേ സോ ഹിം. Some of them came and took his danda from him. He was an old person, he could easily do that, right? Somebody took his begging bowl, took it from him. Somebody took away his chanting beads. Somebody took away his clothes, second cloth, whatever he had, took it. Made him feel helpless. He couldn't do anything about it, right? So, then... പ്രദായഞ്ച പുനസ്ഥാനി ദർശിതാ നിനദുർമുണി അന്നം ച ഭക്ഷ്യസമ്പന്ന ഭുഞ്ചാനസ സരിത്തടെ മൂത്രയന്തി ച പാപിഷ്ട ക്ഷ്ടീവന്ധ്യസജ മൂർധനി യഥവാചം വാചയന്തി താടയന്തി ന വക്തി ചേത്. ഇൻ ദ മീൻ വൈൽ ദീസ് ബോയ്സ് ദേ വർ teasing him. They were teasing him, right? And he found it difficult to deal with them because they were deliberately doing this to him. So he went and sat there in one place, and it was very difficult for him because he was hungry as well. Tremendous hunger he had. Most of the people didn't want to give him anything because everybody knew his past. So nobody was able to... But someone who did not know about him, his past, they gave him some food. Right? And in order to eat that food, he went to a river bank to wash his hands and feet, everything, and to sit and eat. Right? At that time, these boys who were there... They have beat him up, and they put the past urine in his bhiksha, food what he has got, right, and spat at him on his head, right. You remember in the last chapter, when he finished, what Krishna said, mutrido nishtido vai, everything what Krishna said happened to him. Bahu deiva pragampidaha. In various ways, provocations came from Prakriti. People have, and that is where your strength is to test it, spiritual strength, right? What Krishna is saying there. Nishtido mutrido vai, bahudeva prambhida, shreyaskama krichragadha, atman atmana mudhare. Krishna says, if you want to make progress in spiritual life, when such a situation comes, if you are able to deal with it without getting agitated inside and not retaliate or not revengefully deal with it, then you can make progress. Otherwise not. So, in the last chapter, when Krishna said exactly those things happened to this bhikshu, you remember that? ക്ഷിപ്തോ അവമാനിതോ അസദ്ബി പ്രലബ്ധോ അസൂയിതോ അഥവാ താടിത സന്നിബദ്ധോ വാ വൃത്യാവ പരിഹാമിത 57-58 നിഷ്ഠിതോ മൂത്രിതോ വൈജ്ഞർ ബഹുദൈവ പ്രളംഗവിത ശ്രേയസ്കാമ കൃച്ഛ്രഗത ആത്മാന ആത്മാന ഉദ്ധരേൽ. ആൻഡ് ദ സെയിം തിങ് ഹാസ് ഹാപ്പൻ ടു ഹിം. മൂത്രയന്ത് ജപാഭിഷ്ട ശ്രീവന്ധ്യസ ച മൂർധനി യത വാചം വാചയന്തി താടയന്തി ന വക്തി ചേൽ. സോ ദേ വട്ട് എവർ ഭിക്ഷ ഫുഡ് ഹി ഗോട്ട് ദേ കെയിം ഇൻ പാസ്റ്റ് യൂറിൻ ഇൻ ദാറ്റ്. Some boys brought some sand and put it in that, so he couldn't eat that anymore. And they spat on his head, and they tried to make him, agitate him in his mind, made him to agitate, get agitated, right? Because he didn't say anything, they beat him. Because he was not responding to that, right? Tarjayan dabare vagbi, stavanayam idi vadina, badnandi rajvatam kejan, badyadam badyadam idi. And they all together saying that he is a thief. He should be properly punished in this way. And some people brought the rope to tie him down.
క్షిపందేగ అవజానంద ఏష ధర్మధ్వజ శఠ క్షీణవిత ఇమామృతి అగ్రహీత్ స్వజనోజ్జిద. దే సేయింగ్ దాట్ దిస్ హోల్ డ్రెస్ వాట్ హి హస్ పుట్ ఆన్ ఈస్ ఆల్ బోగస్. దే సేడ్ హి సేస్ దాట్ బికాస్ హీ హస్ లాస్ట్ ఆల్ హిస్ వెల్త్ అండ్ ఆల్ హిస్ పీపుల్ హావ్ గివెన్ అప్ ఆన్ హిమ్, దేర్ ఫార్ హీ హస్ టేకన్ టు దిస్ సన్యాసి డ్రెస్, బిక్షుస్ డ్రెస్. లైక్ దాట్ దే స్టార్టెడ్ సేయింగ్ టు హిమ్, అహో ఏష మహాసారో ధృతిమాన్ గిరిరాడివ మౌన సాధ్యర్థం భగవల్ దృఢ నిశ్చయా. సో వెన్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ హ్యాపెండ్ బిక్షు డిడ్ నాట్ డివియేట్ ఫ్రమ్ హిస్ డిటర్మినేషన్, హి వాస్ ఏబుల్ టు హోల్డ్ ఆన్, డిడ్ంట్ గెట్ అజిటేటెడ్ ఆర్ రియాక్ట్ టు దాట్ రైట్. అండ్ ఈవెన్ దో దే గేవ్ హిమ్ సో మచ్ ట్రబుల్ and was going through a very hard time, there was no reaction from him. He stood like a mountain without getting affected by that, right? So the boys were there, the cowherd boys who had come and done this to him. They were talking to each other about him. He says that this man, he is taken up this dress as a bhikshu, and he is only acting in front of us like a bhikshu, deliberately abusing him as much as possible, right? And then he said that ityega vihasandiyanam ege druvadayanti cha తమ్ బబంధు నిరుధుర్ యథా క్రీడనకం ద్విజం. సమ్ పీపుల్ వర్ వెరీ రూడ్ అండ్ వైలెంట్ రైట్ ఇన్ మెనీ డిఫరెంట్ వేస్ దే గేవ్ హిమ్ పెయిన్ రైట్ అండ్ సమ్ టైమ్స్ దే లాక్డ్ హిమ్ అప్ ఇన్ ఎ ప్లేస్ సమ్వేర్ అండ్ ఫోర్స్ఫుల్లీ gave him as much trouble as possible to disturb his mind, right? Evam sa baudhigam dukham devigam dehigam chayat bhoktavyam atmano dishtam praptam praptam abhudyada. In this way, he had all the three kinds of suffering, adhyalbhigam, adhibaudhigam, adhidevigam, all of them. But he was able to accept it all as his prarabdha karma. And therefore, he did not develop any hate or revenge towards anyone. Paribhuta imam gatha agayata narathamai padayadvi sudharmastu dhridim asthaya sattviki. Even though all these boys who have given him this trouble, they try to disturb him from his sudharmam. And they tortured him like this. But due to the sattugunam in him, in that brahmana, by now sattugunam he has built up. Vairagyam came and the after effect was sattugunam came to him. And for some time he has been a yeti now, like a bhikshu. Due to that, he got the strength inside, dhayam. Satvigi, dhriti satvigi. Satvigi means that willpower inside. Willpower comes from two locations in us. Willpower that comes from ahangaram is what keeps us doing so many big things in this world. Willpower that comes from the andaryami is the one that makes us progress in spiritual path. So willpower is like that. It is in the 18th chapter when we discussed dhriti. We talked about that. In the 18th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. How dhriti means willpower. Willpower comes from two different sources. The one that comes from ahangaram makes us to do the big things in this world. The willpower that comes from andaryami makes us determined in spiritual path. That's the difference. Yeah. So, with that willpower, he stood by his faith and he sang a song. Why do you say it's a song? The reason is, you can only sing a song if you are very peaceful inside, is it not? If you are very disturbed inside, you won't be able to sing a song. So, in order to show to us that in spite of all these provocations from outside, inside he was not disturbed. He was in a very shanti state. He was able to maintain that. That is what it is said like this, that he sung a song, it says. Because if he says that he has sung a song, means he was peaceful inside. He was not agitated or disturbed in that way. Right? So, what is Bhikshu done? What Bhikshu has done is Tattva Vicharam for a short period of time. That was enough for him. Sure, you can see, normally this Tattva Jnanam comes when Vairagyam comes. Vairagyam came to him first. When Vairagyam came, Tattva Vicharam started inside. It's not all these are organized way it's happening. It's a life experience is keeping this happening to him. Vairagyam comes because all the people abandoned him. All his family, friends, society abandoned him. Lost all the money, wealth what he had. That led into Vairagyam. He suffered from that. Vairagyam came from that. From that Vairagyam, later on, this Tattvajnanam comes. So, Tattvajnanam comes in a person only when there is Vairagyam. That's a requirement for that. Only when there is proper Vairagyam inside, Tattvajnanam will happen. Otherwise, Tattvajnanam will go on an intellectual level. It won't have any impact inside. So, when Vairagyam came, Tattvajnanam came to him, Parokshajnanam came to him. Right? And that led into, for him, turned into what he say here, that he properly analyzed the situation and he was able to, because ahankaram has gone from inside because of all these things what happened. Ahankaram has gone, therefore more clarity inside in what he was thinking, right? And even though these boys threatened him in all possible ways, he didn't get affected by that. Yeah. And that's what he's saying here. So all these things happened one after the other. Vairagyam, Tattvajnanam, and due to that Vivekam, able to control the mind and senses and everything. And if it all happened that, if all these things happen, then that person will have the capacity to tolerate others, even if others turn against them. That titiksha. Titiksha is the end result of that. Able to tolerate the sufferings of this world, in whichever form it comes. Adhyalpikam, Adhibhautikam, Adhidevikam, it doesn't matter. Whichever form it comes, he will be able to tolerate that. That's what that thing's saying here, right? And that's what Krishna is saying here, that you can say about this Bhikshu that he learned one thing, that he was becoming free from the mind, senses and the prana, their control over him, and more closer to Antaryami inside. And through this Tattva Jnanam and Vichara Margam, means the Jnana Margam in other words, he was able to see this Antaryami's hands behind it when the boys were giving him trouble. That requires Antaryami's help, otherwise it's not possible. When he was agitated like this, Antaryami gave the tolerance inside, Tidiksha, for him, that he did not get disturbed by any of the things what happened around him. Right? He did not react. He realized that whatever has to happen will happen in that way. So, he was able to focus on his dharmam now as a bhikshu. And he spent his time in that way. If one is able to do like that, He will, if we have determined that way, Krishna is saying that he will be able to pursue this path of spiritual life seriously. Otherwise, it's not possible. So, it is, spiritual life is not something that you can plan on your own. It does not work like that. There are so many other factors involved in that. The situation in life has turned out in this way. A lot of suffering happened first. That led into vairagyam. Vairagyam led him to think about it. Tattva-vijaram started inside. Tattva-jnanam developed inside. Through Tattva-jnanam, he acquired the spiritual knowledge what was required for spiritual life. Parokshajnanam. And after that, he realized what he has to do. So all this time you can see whatever help he required, Antaryami was giving it from inside for him. What was required? At every stage, the right thoughts were coming from inside. How to go further? So you can understand from that the way spiritual life, anyone makes progress, is always with Antaryami's support. Antaryami's influence is very strong. And it is case of everybody. Whether it is Srila Prabhupada or Ramana Maharshi or Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, great, great personalities, if you look into their life, you will see the same process happening. Right? So here you can see what he needed now is this tidiksha, tolerance towards, and not to get agitated inside. If he got agitated, then he has lost it. But he didn't get agitated at this point, right? So, whether you follow the Jnana Margam or whether you follow the Bhakti Margam, it doesn't make any difference here, right? Either way, the surrender has to happen and Antaryami has to give the support, which did happen here, right? And whether it happened through Bhakti Margam or Jnana Margam, it's irrelevant. It happened. That spiritual path. Right? So, Bhikshu did that and he analyzed himself and he acquired the proper knowledge necessary how to progress further in spiritual path. Right? And anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means that continuously following up that. So, if one is able to do that, he will get all the power to tolerate others, whatever trouble they give, right? He was able to see that this is my prarabdham. What has come to me in this form is my prarabdham, right? And so, he is saying here that the wealth has all gone. Why did that happen? Similarly, all family relations, everybody abandoned. And all other problems, like bodily issues, for example, old age, diseases, and things like that, and the suffering from that, right? He accepted everything as prarabdham. And without any further discussion about that, he stuck to his position as Bhikshu Dharmam, right? And then he is saying here that he never gave up this. So, those wicked boys who are giving him trouble, right? Even though they gave him all this trouble, right? Due to his Satvigi Dhridi, Krishna says here, Dhridi Masaya Satvigi. Satvigi Dhridi. Due to that Sattvagunam inside, right, he did not deviate from his dharma. And he sang, that is Bhikshudita. Dhridi means control of mind and senses through willpower, right? But as I said, that willpower coming from Antaryami. Antaryami gives that willpower at that time. So, yeah. And then the Bhikshu Gita begins. 18 verses is this Bhikshu Gita. Yeah. Dvija Uvacha. నాయం జనోమే సుఖదుఃఖ హేతుర్ నా దేవదాల్మా గ్రహకర్మ కాలాహ మనపరం కారణమామనంది సంసార చక్రం పరివర్తయేద్యల్. నాయం జనోమే సుఖదుఃఖ హేతు నా దేవదాల్మా గ్రహకర్మ కాల మనపరం కారణమామనంది సంసార చక్ర పరివర్తయేద్యల్. Through yoga process, able to control the senses, pranam, everything, and dissolving in the antaryami, in the self, right? And that is what is called, he mentioned as dhriti masaya satyugi, satyugi dhriti. Satyugi dhriti means that the senses, mind, pranam, all these things, not allowing them to go in the world, but instead dissolving them in the antaryami inside. And he is saying here that nobody else is responsible for my suffering, first thing, right? Devadas are not responsible, Atma is not responsible, planets are not responsible, Karmam is not responsible, Kalam is not responsible. Normally when we get into trouble, when we have distress in life, our general tendency is to blame others. It's not, they are responsible for my problems. Somebody else is responsible, right? So, that's normal in this world, to curse others, right? And to make sure that somebody else is responsible for why I am suffering in this world. And in that way, we cheat ourselves. In that way, we get cheated. Yeah. So, Brahmana is saying here that without properly knowing the cause of my suffering, it is not possible to solve the distress without knowing the cause behind it. Right? Suppose you got sick, from some sickness came, right? And without knowing the cause of the sickness, and the doctor won't be able to give you treatment properly. He has to diagnose properly, it's not, to know what disease you've got, and able to know how this disease come, right? Similarly, when distress comes also in life, to know why this has happened, and that has to be resolved in the same way. Only then you can become free from that distress. Instead of trying to do that, finding fault with everybody else in this world, it will be cheating yourself by doing that. That saying that they are responsible for that. And otherwise, to say that, sometimes people say, some devadas are unhappy with me. They are responsible for this. And therefore, I am suffering because of that. And in this way, different devadas are there, whom people normally blame. They are responsible for that. Right? Some people will say, it is my fate or destiny, then why I have to suffer like this. Or, planets are in the wrong position. Or due to my results of my karma, kalam, in this way, various things, right? These are different methods by which people console themselves, pacify themselves, right? Brahmana is saying, none of them are responsible. Instead, our mind, which is attracted to artham kamam, it is that mind which is developed asakti, attachment to artha kamam, is responsible for my distress, he is saying. Right? Because this arthasakti, kamasakti, attachment to wealth, attachment to sense gratification, right, is actually the cause of all our distress in this world. You remember, Vidura came back from the pilgrimage, went to Maitreya Maharshi and spoke to him. Everyone is suffering in this world and they are still working very hard. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko, that verse, right? So when Vidura asked this question to Maitreya Maharshi, that people are working in this world very hard to become happy, right? And nobody wants distress to come in life. Nobody work hard to get distress at the end, right? So for the sake of happiness, you have worked very hard, but you are not able to experience happiness. Distress is coming in life, right? And even that happiness, even if you have got something, that also doesn't last very long, short period of time, right? And end result is that, ultimate end result of everything, is distress only. So what does it show? He says that dukkham or distress comes to everybody, even though they don't want it, it comes to them. Nobody wants distress to come. But distress comes looking for us. It comes to us, right? So this is the nature of this world. Vidura is asking this question, right? And what should one do in this world when everything is like this? You work hard to become happy and then the distress comes after that. Why is it like that, he has said. Is it not? You remember that? So when he asked this question, what did Maitreya Maharshi say? Maitreya Maharshi is saying here that everybody wants happiness in life, right? And they are working very hard for that. That's good, said. But the misunderstanding they have is that happiness is come from material world outside. That's a misunderstanding, he said, right? So because they have felt that happiness is coming from objects outside, they are trying to acquire the objects and from that trying to get happiness from that. And they are running after that in the world outside, running after so many things to make themselves happy inside. So important thing is, drishya vishayam, anything what you see through senses, if you start mistakenly think happiness is going to come from that, it will not come. That's the first thing. Because the objects itself is not permanent. They also are temporary. All drishya vishayam, if you think that you are going to get happiness from that, and if you run after them, by the time you acquire them and get it, you will get some happiness because they have come through senses. Shabda sparsha roopa rasa gandham. Any object, sense objects come through that, you will get a momentary happiness. But when they get destroyed, you will suffer from that heavily. Double the distress will come from that. So this mistake understanding of the human species, he says, that happiness comes from external objects, this has to leave him first. This avidya inside, right? And that is the main cause behind his suffering in this world. This is how Maitreya Maharshi answered Vidura. So Vidura asked a question, sukhaya karmani karoti loko, that everybody is working for happiness, distress is coming. Maitreya Maharshi says it's not their fault. The fault is that they have misunderstood that happiness is coming from the objects in the world. And any happiness that comes from the objects in the world, its very nature itself is, it won't last long, only for a short period of time. And it will end up like this. He said, you will put a lot of effort to get it, and after some time, you will find that either the object gets destroyed, or you are not getting the same happiness from the same object, what you thought you will get. In a few days or months' time, you lose the taste for it. So that's the way this world is created. That's the first point he made, right? So So this is called, as long as this feeling in one's mind, I will get happiness from anything in this world, in sense objects, sukha-buddhi, in vishayam, right? As long as it is there, it will be difficult for him to become free from distress. This is how Maitreya Maharshi answered that, right? So this sukha-buddhi, feeling that there is happiness in everything in this world outside, that is what is called artha-asakti or kama-asakti, right? And that is the cause of all the distress. When we have feeling that there is happiness in so many things in this world, next thing is you want to have it, to possess that, right? And that way, to possess that, you acquire wealth, and then asakti for the wealth comes. And then you will work very hard to acquire the wealth, right? So this artha-asakti, kama-asakti, these two things is responsible for our distress. Our distress, right? And the reason for this artha-asakti and kama-asakti, Krishna is saying here that because you have, it came due to bodily identification. So when you look at subtle level, you can see all this makes sense. But problem is that even though we may hear all these things, it won't stay inside us. It's all a theory forever. It remains as a theory only. Theory, if you can write and pass the Bhakti Shastri test and all, you can pass with this, with the theoretical knowledge. But practical life, it is more difficult for everyone to bring it into practice, isn't it? So basically, it makes more sense what he is saying. Arthasakti, Kamasakti is coming from the Vishayasakti. What's the cause behind that? That we lost our spiritual identity. We fall into bodily identity, right? And that bodily identity has come from avidya, avidya bhada, right? So when avidya came in, what happened? Avidya means maya, avidya maya. When it has influenced us, we lost our connection with Antaryami. We started thinking that we are nothing to do with Antaryami. And then we started identifying with the body. And with that bodily identity, kamam, desires came. And for fulfilling the desires, we started engaging in karma, right? So, for the sake of artha kamam, for that we began the karmam. Then karma vasana came from that. And then through that karma vasana, it ended up in taking many births, one after the other, and death, right? And we got stuck in this flow of samsara, material existence. It has happened. And we are in the middle of that at the moment. In that samsaram, continuously going through different bodies, and among those several bodies, in one body we are now. Out of the many. Many we have finished, and many are going to come in the future, based on the karma, what we have done. So all this happened due to identification with the body. And when that and then the personality came, and attachment, asakti came to the bodily happiness, right? And five senses, and through senses, sensual happiness. So, all sense objects are kshaniya pratibhasam, only for a short period of time. And it is the nature of the mind, if it gets stuck with any of the sense objects, distress must come from that. That's the rule. In some form, distress will come from that. So, arthasakti, kamasakti, avidya, kama, karma, bhi, karma, vasana. These are the things which is rotating us through this samsara, material world, right? And so, avidya due to that kamam, and from that arthasakti, then due to that arthasakti and kamasakti, dukkham. So, because these karma vasanas we have created so much, we are continuously going through this cycle, birth, death, in that way. So, and as long as this arthasakti, kamasakti is there, it is not possible to get out of this distress, he said. And there is no point in blaming anybody for this. So that is what he is saying here. Na devada, graham, karmam, kalam. No point in blaming any one of them. And we have to solve this problem of arthasakti and kamasakti, right? And the reason for that arthasakti and kamasakti is swaroopa vismriti, forgetfulness of our spiritual identity. And that has happened due to avidya. And with the avidya, and when through self-realization we get back our swaroopam, you become free from the distress. That's the way Maitreya Maharshi told Vidura about it. Right? So, any sense enjoyment will lead into distress at the end. But swaroopa sakshatkaram, through self-realization, it will, that is actually the medicine, the solution to the problem. This is the reason that whatever sense problems with the world, in whichever way it is, right? Ultimately, you will come back to this position. That actual solution to the problem is only self-realization. There is no other way, right? You will notice that in the Bhagavatam. Whatever problems you have discussed for different devotees, have you noticed that? Whether it is Ambarish, whether it is Gajendra, Mahabali, Uddhava, Akrura, Dhruva, Prahlada, all these personalities, they all had different problems in their life, is it not? But did you notice one thing? When every episode you study, at the end it ends up in this one thing, solution is self-realization for all problems. The only one solution, whether it is Ambarish, the richest person, Sudama, the poorest person, for both of them, solution is the same, self-realization. That's the beauty of Bhagavatam. So many great Mahatmas, rich people, poor people, children, older people, women, men, all kinds of devotees in the Bhagavatam. And all of them had different types of problems. Kunti Devi had one problem, Parikshit had another problem, and Bhishma had another problem, and similarly Dhruva had his problem, Prahlada had his problem, Prahlada's problem was Hiranyakashipu and all others, things like that. And similarly Gajendra had his problem, and if Mahabali had his problem, and similarly all the different kings in the Bhagavatam, they had different problems, Gopis had their problems, Uddhava had his problem. So all these people had different types of problems, but the one and the only solution, everybody had this only one solution. Solution to all their problems was self-realization. That's how it is, right? Everything, whatever you discuss in the Bhagavatam about various devotees in various ways, all their life story in this world and their interaction with Krishna and all that, ultimately it ends up in this one thing. Solution to the problem, self-realization. Ambarish was the greatest powerful rich person. Is it not? He had the problem, ended up in self-realization. Sudama was the poorest of the poor. His solution was also the same. This is the only solution. There is no other solution. And in order to understand that, he is saying that it is spoken through different people to make us aware that this is the only solution in this world, real solution to the problem. All other solutions are patchwork. You can do some things here and there. It won't last. It will all, at the end, it's all distress only, right? So, tattva-jnanam, self-realization, or self-realization, swaroopa-sthiti, that is the only solution to all the problems forever, right? And because this arthasakti, kamasakti, These are the two things generally responsible for our present situation. And it is keeping us rotating through all these things. Cycle of birth and death, right? Avidya, kamam, karmam, karmavasana. Vakunti Devi began with that, saying that, right? Through avidya, surupa vispradi, forgetfulness of our own spiritual identity, right? And then misunderstanding that we are the body. First thing, we forgetfulness of our spiritual identity. Then the next thing is identification with the gross body. And then vyaktitva abhimanam, personality. And in this way, arthasakti. When we identify with the body, then we started feeling, in order that the body to be happy, I need to do karmam. And through karmam, I was fulfilling the desires of the body. And in order to do that, dehiga sukham, deham, dehiga sukham. For that you require artham, money. You require money, right? Arthasakti came like that. Because of necessity to satisfy the body. Arthasakti came. Then kama asakti. Then desires came. Accordingly you will do the karmam. Karmam comes from that. Then karma vasana came up. And in that way you got stuck in this samsaram. Cycle of birth and death. Right? So artha kama asakti. That is responsible for that. And that is what is keeping all of us in the in this world, right? So arthakamam. Arthakamam, cause behind it, surupa vismrati, dehabhimanam. And without this dehabhimanam going away, arthakama sakti, you won't become free. Dehabhimanam has to go. Therefore, through self-realization, when we become free from identification with the body, you will become free from the distress. There is no point in blaming anyone else in this world, right? And that's only wasting time. This is the first verse. Nayam janome sukha dukha hedu na devadalpa graha karma kala manaparam karanam amamanandi samsara chakram parivartayendyal. Then he says, this samsara chakram, chakra. So the samsaram, how does it work? That's what he's going to explain in the next verse, right? That samsara chakram, wheel of samsaram, as they call it, isn't it? Wheel of samsaram. How it takes us through different bodies, how that happens, that's the next verse. Mano gunanvai srajade beliyam, tadascha karmani vilakshanani, shuklani, Krishnani, Adalohidani, Yedya Savarna Sodayo Bhavandi. Mano Gunanvai Srijade Beliyan, Tadascha Karmani Vilakshanani, Shuklani, Krishnani, Adalohidani, Tebhya Savarna Sodayo Bhavandi. This thing called mind creates all the karma. Everything begins from that, from the mind, right? And obviously it goes through the senses into the world and starts the interaction with the world. Tadasya, and then the karmam begins. After the mind has made contact with the sense objects, then the karmam begins. And tadasya shuklani krishnani lohidani vilachanani karmani bhavandi. Senses start working and it comes out in the form of karma. And that karma that comes out comes in three categories. Satyagam, Rajasam, Tamasam. Yeah. Satyagam, Rajasam, Tamasam. So, you can see there the mind is very much in contact with these three things. First of all, how this arthasakti, kamasakti came, right? First reason, it began with the surupa vismrati, forgetfulness of our spiritual identity and identification with the body, dehadhyasam, right? That misunderstanding inside us, I am this body, first of all. Due to that, identification with this body, we have got attracted to the happiness what you can get from the body. That comes from that, identification with the body, right? And due to that attraction to the body, to get happiness from the body, calm desires came from that, through avidya bhana. So, in first thing what happened was surupa vismriti, forgetfulness of our own spiritual identity, created kamam in the mind, desires in the mind, and asakti, and that asakti inside us pushes us from inside to work for bhogam, sense gratification. And that's what he is saying there. Tadascha karmani vilakshanani, he says. Mano gunanvai srijade beliyam, tadascha karmani vilakshanani. The beliyam, beliyam means very powerful they are, these three gunam. From inside they are pushing the mind, right? So what will happen is, karma vasana will increase in a person. According to that, he will have to go into different bodies, depending on the karma vasana. We will take birth in different wombs, right? And we will have to take birth and die, birth and death in different species because of that, right? And then, shuklani krishnanyada lohitani, satonam rajonam tamogonam. That's what that three means. Shuklam is satam, krishna is rajasa, lohitam means tamasa. Shuklani, Krishnani, the Lohidani. So these three types of karma comes from us. And due to our kamasakti or vishayasakti, right? And accordingly, the different types of body, what we get. Tebhya savarna sudayo bhavandi, he says there, right? So in order that, certain types of asakti comes inside, kama sakti. Accordingly, you will get a body suitable for that kamam, particular kamam. Kama sakti. Type of kama sakti. Right? Kama means it's a general thing. But there can be various types of kama. So, if the karmam is satyugam, satyuga karmam, then you will get the you will get the body in the higher planets because due to the satyuga karma. In order to experience the results of that karma, you will be given the bodies in the higher planets. Through rajasic karma, you will get to the human body. And when we say satyuga karma means karma that is based on dharma, where dharma is given the due importance. Right? And so the importance of satyam is that he will be very hesitant to break away from the path of dharma. In other words, that whenever he engages in karma, he will be controlled by dharma from inside. That is satyam. When a person spends his time in karmam, if it is controlled by sattugunam from inside, he will not deviate from the path of dharma. All karmam comes from kamam, desires. All karmam comes from desires, kamam, right? Without kamam, karmam won't happen in anybody, right? So, when you have this desire inside to engage in dharmam, if it is coming, means it is coming from satyuga vasana inside. In that person, there is satyuga vasana, right? So, if satyuga vasana is inside and he is engaging in karma, the tendency in that person will be to follow dharma. All this is connected to each other. Our vasana inside, sattvagunam, and your karma and dharma, they are all linked to each other. Suppose these are all subtle things. How do you prove all these things? In a society, like industrial society, you can say, where everybody is working for wages and getting money and living a sense gratification, this knowledge won't be easy to understand. This you have to learn from people who have lived their life in this way. When you observe, you will know this. The vasanas inside, sattvagunam inside, and the karma, what they do, if you connect them, and the dharmam they follow, if you link all these things, you will know how sattvagunam works. Their vasanas, sattvagunam, their karmam, and how they follow dharmam. These four things are connected each other. So, obviously, it will be very difficult to tempt them to change their path of dharma, path of karma, what they are used to. If you bring them to do something which is against dharma, they will find it difficult to do it because of this influence of sattvagunam in them. And when you are executing dharma, at that time also, this thought is there, I am doing this karma, and I have to get the results, right? It is with this understanding that most of the people do karma in this world, right? So, Shastram allows these two things. Shastram allows two things, happiness in this world, and after leaving this world, your next destination, where you go from here, right? So, dharma means what Shastram has allowed to have in this world and what Shastram has allowed in the life after death. Everything has to be based on Shastram, not otherwise. Otherwise, you can speculate anything you want. Whatever you like, you can say. This is where the problem is. Most of the people, they do not have developed that sufficient strength in the Shastram, what Shastram is saying, right? Because of that, we often question everything. You can't question these things because Shastram says, Shastram has a structured situation in all these things. What is Shreyasa? What is Prayasa? Upanishads also will say the same thing. If you move away from the Shastram and then you start analyzing things, your mind will get involved. And mind will guide you in all kinds of directions. And you will start thinking, can this not be right? Can that not be right? Nothing is right. Because the right thing is only in the Shastram, not from in your mind. Whatever decision you are making is all wrong. It has no meaning. The only authority. So first thing is, that is why they say that the Shastrasya Guruvakyasya Satya Buddhyavadharana. If you don't have that Satya Buddhi in Shastram and the teaching of the Guru, or the great souls, then your Shraddha is not there. Sa Shraddha. Viveka Chudamani says there, isn't it? So many subtle things in this, and instead of trying to understand that, and understanding that our own weaknesses, we have got all these problems in us. We don't have Shraddha, we don't have the Dhriti, willpower. You see, remember in the 18th chapter, Krishna discussed all these things. What is Satyagi Shraddha? What is Rajasi Shraddha? What is Satyagi Dhriti? What is Rajasi Dhriti? So many things he said that in the 18th chapter. But it didn't affect us at all. It's gone, came and gone. 18th chapter we finished, that's gone. That's over. So that approach has to change in life. Spiritual life means Shastram. Krishna is saying this, without Shastram, whatever you say is all nonsense. Rishis and the Shastram, they are the only authority, right? Shastrasya Guruvakyasya Satya Buddhyavadharana. Yen Shastra Vidimul Sraja Vartade Kamakarakad, Bhagavad Gita says. If you give up Shastram, that is why studying Shastram, understanding Shastram is absolutely necessary to conduct a proper spiritual life. Otherwise, you are shooting in the dark. You are doing so many things. Somebody does something, you are also doing it, because they are all doing it. Whole society is doing it, I am also doing it. That's getting nowhere. One life is gone like that. And you are feeling that I've done a spiritual life. You get a satisfaction that way. Anyway, we'll discuss this next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.